Turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Text is verses 4 through 18. Nearing the end of the series, we've slowed down considerably, some of you noticed, in the last chapter. Because the application is so rich and so powerful for us. So give your attention to the reading of the Word of God. I'll back up one verse to where Jay ended last week. It also falls into this portion of Philippians 4 as well. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. May the Lord bless our understanding, the reading, our hearing, and our understanding of His infallible, inerrant Word. The great theme of the book of Philippians is joy. Joy in the midst of life circumstances. Right next to that great theme is the theme of partnership. The Apostle Paul uses this word over and over again. Back in chapter 1, verse 5, verse 7, and here in this chapter twice, as well as several other times in the book. It is one of the great themes of not only the book of Philippians, but one of the great kingdom principles upon which the advance of the kingdom of God depends. I've said numerous times in this series that one of the applications of this book is that ministry and sharing the gospel, whether as a missionary or a pastor or any kind of vocational ministry, is not a solo calling. We are called to do it in partnership with others. That's true. That's a kingdom principle that's true not only in the church, in the mission field, it's true in all of life. The old joke is, if you see a turtle sitting on the fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself, right? Well, that old joke is such an element of truth. In the world today, you see the great collaborations in science. Orville probably wouldn't have invented the airplane if he didn't have his brother Wilbur, right, to help him. Watson might not have found and understood the DNA molecule if he hadn't had his partner, Crick, to collaborate with to make that great discovery. And it's certainly true in life, and whether it's musical collaborations of all sorts, or whether it's in academic circles, or pick any venue, especially sports, there can be no great accomplishments in team sports unless there is this synergy of partnership. It's true because that's the way God made us. And it's especially true in the Church of Jesus Christ, and especially true in regards to the gospel. We get more done for the kingdom when we do it together than if we go off in our own directions. And this is the Apostle Paul's appeal to the church. This is why church unity and mind and purpose to advance his kingdom is so important. That's why we partner with ministries. That's why we partner with the Gideons. Where's Les? Les, he's sitting up front. He'll be at the back door. What a heartwarming story of the gospel. What a great illustration of my point. We put resources in the hands of faithful stewards. The result is the kingdom expands. We may not be able to go to sub-Sahara Africa, but we can support missionaries in Burkina Faso. We may not be able to go and learn Japanese, but we can go and help and partner with the Mirabellas who do the Japanese ministry. We can't be on the front line in Ukraine, but we can give to the Gideon work in Ukraine. We can support the shepherds in Ukraine and the outreach ministries there. This is how the gospel advances and how God prepares hearts in advance. When Paul first arrives in Philippi, he meets Lydia, who God had prepared with a Bible study down by the riverside to receive the word of God. And then he has Paul thrown into prison in Philippi, where he goes from the Jew first to the Greeks in the jail and the Philippian jailer who repents, and his whole family is baptized, and the gospel advances again. This is how God's kingdom grows. And the Apostle Paul, who we might think of as a solo minister, a non-pariel, always went with someone. He was in prison in Philippi with Silas. We often forget his partner in ministry. He partnered with Lydia. In her Bible study, he partnered with those who God had prepared for the purpose of advancing the good news of the gospel. And Paul knows their partnership, how it was kind of the Philippians to share his trouble. The old saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed, is true. And it should certainly be the case in the kingdom of God. When we see our brothers and sisters in need, we should not recoil from them, but we should move toward them with practical help. Paul commends them for not only their help for him in the Roman prison and sending this wonderful gift to sustain him in the Roman prison through Epaphroditus, who we met before previously in the book of Philippians, but he commends them because as they began to support him and began to help him, they continued. Even when he left Philippi to go to Thessalonica, which is several miles down the road, they followed him there with help. And they remembered him in his troubles. Stewardship is so foundational to Christian growth. We don't talk about stewardship very much, except on Faith Promise Month. We talk about stewardship and the gospel, but we do talk about it when it comes up through the regular expositions of the scripture. So if you're one of those people that showed up in church for the first time in 10 years and you hear the pastor talk about money, then I'm sorry. You should know this is not something that but it's such an important part of the Christian life. It's so vital to your spiritual growth to be a partner with the gospel in providing what is needed for the advance of the gospel. Jay often said, I didn't hear him say it this morning, but he often says, when we ask you to fill out a visitor, did you ask people to fill out? We had so many things. Did you ask people to fill out a visitor? He didn't. Normally he does. And I love what
you
he says.
Now.
I'm going to. There's a yellow card in front of you. Jay usually says, fill out that yellow card. And when the offering plate comes by, place in the offering. And because we want to know you. We want you and not your money. And really that saying is a direct application of this scripture. The apostle is saying it's not your money that's important. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit has worked in you in such a way that you want to use your money that God has given you for the sake of the furtherance of the gospel. The apostle Paul is not interested in his own personal financial gain. If he was, he would have taken the money and run away. His ministry has led him to death row in the Praetorian Guard in Rome. He's glad for the help he's getting, the encouragement he's receiving. But what he's most excited about is not the gift, which he says refreshed him and encouraged him. What refreshed him and encouraged him was the heart that it reflects of their desire to advance the kingdom of God and to be stewards of God's resources. Giving to God's work is a reflection of the heart. It's a reflection of what I'm truly believing in and trusting in. We mentioned in the pastoral prayer our three deacon nominees, and one of the great features of Covenant Church is that we've always had a strong diaconate. And I'm so excited about these three young men who've been nominated for the office of deacon. Because I believe they're all stellar and godly. It's important for you to know that both deacon and elder are spiritual offices. They're not, we don't just have the elders do spiritual things and the deacons do the practical things and handle the money. They're both vital to the life of the church. It's sad to me to see that some of our churches kind of put aside the whole office of the diaconate. It's a tragedy. I would remind all of our deacons and our deacon nominees of what a spiritual office deacon is. In fact, I would dare say, too, that, Deacon Stephen's sermon in Acts 7, you will never find a finer exposition of the whole Old Testament than you will find right there. And obviously, Philip's sermon to the Ethiopian eunuch was quite a barn burner too, you know, the results that it led to. God uses this office, and he makes it an office in the church for this very reason that the Apostle Paul talks about here. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul takes up a whole chapter defending his right to make his living from the gospel, and at the same time saying, I lay aside that right for the sake of the advance of God's kingdom. In 2 Corinthians 9, he urges the Macedonians to be generous, and he uses the theme of sowing and reaping to explain this principle of giving to the Lord's work. God has operated on a believer's heart. It will lead to generosity for the sake of advancing the kingdom of God. and that is a kingdom truth. And so many Christians get stunted in their spiritual growth for failure to apprehend this very principle. Jesus made as plain as he possibly could make it in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. He put it very bluntly. He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures in this world where moth is going to corrupt, where inflation is going to eat it away. Put your treasure in heaven where none of those things can affect it. Lay it up for future use, to the glory of God. The grace of giving is what grows in a believer's life when he begins to understand the enormity of God's grace at work in his or her life, now and forever. And God does not overlook it. Christ sits at the door of the treasury and watches and observes. He sees the amount the poor widow gives and he measures it in relation to what others gave who gave vast sums, and he measures it proportionally. As the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 6, God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love you have shown his name. And that's what the apostle is saying here. You entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving. And you were the only church who did. Even when I went down the road to Thessalonica and got into more trouble, you followed me there. Again, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit in your life. God provides what is needed for the ministry through his people. And he has received payment in full. I've blown past my second point and pointed out, I'm down to my third point. So. Payment in full. He uses an accounting term. It's an interesting play on words. What does he mean there? He says, I've been paid in full by you, that he was working for wage. Obviously, that's not what he means because of what he said prior to this. But he is describing what he has received from the Philippians. For them to understand grace, my payment is the grace of God that enables me to come in to his presence. He is not saying he has earned their payment. He is saying he has received it by grace. The Apostle Paul, above anyone who ever walked the face of the earth, understands that salvation is not by what you do. It's not by how much you give or how much you do, how much you sacrifice. Salvation is from beginning to end all of grace, all of his mercy. All we do for the Lord in our giving and our doing, our serving, is a thank you of gratitude for all that he has done for us. What we have done for God and for others is accepted, and God alone receives the glory. The apostle says he's already received full payment and more. He has everything he needs, plus a surplus. And what he's full of joy about is not the gift he received, but what it reflects in the hearts and the lives and the minds of the ones who gave it. It says it's like a fragrant aroma that goes up to God. He points back to the Old Testament. Here's one of Jeff's, Jeff's analogies. What a wonderful class. If you're missing adult Sunday school, you shouldn't miss it. It's so good. It's on the covenants. And how it's about how to apply the Old Testament to life. Here, the Apostle Paul doesn't. He talks about, if you remember, if you read about the sacrifices in Leviticus and Exodus, and you'll see this phrase over and over, that the sacrifice goes up and the burnt offerings go up to the Lord as a fragrant aroma. The incense that the priest burns goes up before the Lord as a fragrant aroma to God, well pleasing to him. And that's what Paul says these gifts are. They are a fragrant aroma pleasing to God. Not just financially, it's giving of our lives. So often, I've seen it in the ministry, when someone's son or daughter says, I want to go to the mission field. I've seen parents cringe. Oh, no. Brothers and sisters, if your son or daughter or granddaughter has a call to the ministry, to serve the Lord, you should be turning cartwheels of joy. If they want to go to the deepest, darkest place in the world to serve him, don't cringe. Be glad. Be full of joy that you have been privileged in the world to bring forth someone who wants to give everything in service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a fragrant aroma, pleasing to God. Do not neglect, the writer of Hebrews says the same thing in 13 verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Again, there's the language of the Old Covenant. They are offered up to God in a way that's pleasing to him. Matthew Henry is always someone I check with before I preach, and sometimes his words are so well stated, I just read them, and I'm going to read what he says about this passage. He says, a good man will soon have enough of this world, not only of living in it, but of receiving from it. A covetous worldling, if he has ever so much, would still have more. But a heavenly Christian, though he has little, has enough. I would add, has more than enough. We have grace abounding. When we understand this principle, we understand the more we're given. The more we give, the more we're given to give more, to advance his kingdom more. And it is a spiritual law of the kingdom. And I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel. I'm simply preaching this text. That's what the apostle is saying. The prosperity gospel is not in view here. Paul is waiting for for execution in a Roman prison. But he's saying, you Philippians are experiencing a spiritual blessing beyond degree. The more we give to God in his work, of our substance, of our lives, of our talent, of whatever we're given to steward in this world, the more we receive from him. And the more we are able to give. That is a law of the kingdom. It is true all the time. The more we seek to hang on to this world and the things in it, the things God has given us, the more we see them diminished and taken away. I would close by simply saying, may your heart this morning overflow with the abundant grace and mercy of God through the finished work of Jesus and his continuing work, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for these powerful words from the Apostle Paul that he wrote in the most dire circumstances, and yet he writes of abounding and being paid in full, ready to give his life for the ultimate cause, the advancement of your kingdom. Father, work that grace, that same grace and mercy and love in each one of your children here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.